Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. I'm Travis Ryer. He is Brent Beard, a longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, of course, also a voter for the Heisman Trophy. And Brent, it is here. Week one.
Amazing.
Of the 2020 college football season. I know 2025 college football season. I know we both have games going as we do the show live on Thursday night. And yeah. Missouri from the SEC side of things, getting things going against Central Arkansas. Already some bad news for the Tigers on the quarterback injury front. Did not look good for Sam Horn here in the last hour or so. And I'll tell you something else. It's not an SEC team, but you know who the Florida Gators get after? Long Island?
Yeah, they get South Florida. That's right.
And South Florida is absolutely thumping Boise State in Tampa as we record right now. So something interesting to keep an eye on with that game next week in Gainesville too.
They probably needed something to get their attention because they've got that SEC gauntlet. Well, Miami's in there too, but Miami and LSU and a week off in Texas and Texas A&M. So, Trav, I would imagine South Florida playing as well as they are probably were warranting a little more extra attention for the Gators.
You know, Billy Napier probably doesn't hate this all that much.
Absolutely not.
It tells him that, you know, it's a legitimate game, but you're right. With what the Gators have after South Florida, it would be easy for that football team to look ahead to Miami and LSU and those matchups that loom, even Texas down the road a little bit. So won't be able to look past the Bulls. Look, this is USF in September too, or early in the season, because we've seen USF play Alabama very tough in recent years, both in Tampa and for a while in Tuscaloosa a year ago. So this isn't all that uncommon for USF. Now, you know, once USF goes through this gauntlet, probably won't have any players left.
Probably not.
And then within the league, you know, Memphis and some other teams will probably woodshed them down the road, but pretty impressive so far. And as we talked about, Missouri in control, I wouldn't say it's been a statement kind of performance from Missouri, but you knew there was going to be some transition at quarterback, playing two guys like you anticipated Missouri doing. But boy, Sam Horn again, that's been kind of the low light of the evening.
Really,
in these games, is seeing him go down. Comes in first play that he's in the game, if you didn't see it. It's a design quarterback run, which apparently is what Drinkwitz really wants to do with Sam Horn, is kind of that other guy in the game behind center. And he got kneecapped. It was ugly, the hit he took. And he tried to get up. He was back down. They helped him off. And here's something, if you're looking for silver linings for Sam Horn, he recently signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team.
Yes.
So not to make light of this injury, but you kind of think about that, hey, at least this guy's got that in his back pocket already.
Well, and by the way, Pribula, if I'm pronouncing that right, was like 19 of 23 for 204 yards.
Yeah, and had –
in the first half.
had a long touchdown run too.
Sure
so
did.
He's showing you he can get it done as well. And you were replacing firepower around the quarterback position.
Oh yeah.
For this Missouri team, especially at the wide receiver spot with Weiss and Burden moving on to the next level, or at least taking a shot at the next level. So Brent, as we again update live here, it is now 26-0. Missouri in the second quarter in Como. So the Tigers well on their way to a season opening victory, as we talked about here in the offseason and the lead up to the season. Might be a little bit before we see Missouri really get challenged.
Yeah, right.
But we know it's coming down the road for sure. And some other games that we're obviously looking ahead to. You see it right there on the bottom of the screen right now. You see what that says at the bottom of the screen that we're working with tonight.
Yeah.
And this is for all the SEC haters when it comes to strength of schedule and those kind of things, right? LSU, Bama, Auburn, Texas, all on the road, with tough matchups this weekend, Brent. And I don't, Waco's what really gets it going.
Yeah, absolutely, with Auburn and Baylor. Travis, I don't remember, do you an opening weekend with the SEC having so many road teams? I think that's truly amazing a lot of ways, but they'll be tested early. That will probably help them. But to your point, an Auburn team that is, and I'm going to use the word lightly, that is probably desperate to get an opening win, frankly, particularly with the SEC teams coming in about 3 weeks, Oklahoma for one. So big doings for Auburn going to Baylor and Dave Aranda, and they're down two running backs. But at the same time, Travis, Baylor's pretty good, and they've got a really good quarterback. That's going to be fascinating to see tomorrow night.
Yeah, 2025, this is where we're at, especially with quarterbacks. Sawyer Robertson, there are high hopes for him going into this season behind center for the Baylor Bears. Previously, he was at Mississippi State.
That's right.
Well, Mississippi State starting quarterback Blake Shapen previously was at Baylor. Just basically switched out quarterbacks. But absolutely, this isn't a spot I don't think Auburn figured itself to be in going into year three under Hugh Freeze. Kind of a 50-50 game against, if we're being honest, if you're an Auburn fan and you're thinking the season opener in year three for Hugh Freeze, yes, Baylor and Dave Aranda can be problematic, especially on the road. But there's a lot more unease about this game than I think anybody would have anticipated when Hugh Freeze was handed the keys to the Auburn rig a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Now there are a lot of people think that the Auburn secondary is going to be maybe one of the strengths. We will see about that. But at the same time, this Baylor team, frankly, is very good. I mean, they've got this Hawkins kid at wide receiver at 45 catches. Cameron, who is a redshirt senior, had 52 catches. So they've got a lot of weapons they can use. They've got a tight end named Michael Trigg, who is very good. So, Trav, to say the least, I do think Auburn probably ends up winning the game, but this is a really good test for them on the road to start the season.
Here's the thing you're expecting from Baylor tomorrow night with Dave Aranda, especially as the head coach. They're not going to let Auburn line up and kind of do what Jackson Arnold did when he was at Oklahoma to Alabama.
Yes.
He's going to take something away. Mm-hmm. Dave Aranda will take something away offensively for Auburn. And I think that's where it's going to start for Baylor. If Baylor's successful against the run, the Auburn run game, and even with the weaponry that you know Auburn has, especially on the outside, they'll take their chances with Jackson Arnold beating them through the air. So this is a tough one to pick, Brent. Which way do you lean here?
Well, I still think Auburn finds a way to be able to win the game, but Trav, wouldn't I be wrong in saying I'm not real high on the confidence that Auburn has in him. And Trav, if Auburn gets behind by 7 to 10 points in the second half, what is that going to be like? And again, do we know the mental status? Frankly, I know he's got some wheels, and he's got a decent arm, but what are we going to get out of Jackson Arnold tomorrow night too?
Yeah, it's fascinating because like Hugh Freeze going into year three, we didn't expect to be having this kind of conversation about Auburn football. We didn't expect to be this deep into Jackson Arnold's career as a former five-star recruit by Oklahoma. and having a similar type of conversation about, well, what do we really think he's going to do in this season opener? I think in some ways we thought Jackson Arnold might already be in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given his stature as a recruit coming out of the high school ranks. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's more than one or two games this weekend that we're really not going to know.
Right.
We're going to go into these games. We're going to talk about them, preview and predict them. But I think there's more than a couple of these that we're going to talk about tonight where I don't think come next week when we reconvene here on Second Helping, we're going to be all that surprised one way or the other. I'm going to go Auburn like you are. I'm going to go with the playmakers for Auburn coming up big to help Jackson Arnold. And that Auburn defense being able to do enough. Roster wise, I still think Auburn's the better team on paper. Yeah. Yes. And even though this is a true road environment, I think Jackson Arnold at least has some experience in those type of scenarios. And that should be beneficial enough to the Tigers in the opener in Waco. As we move into Saturday, Brent, I guess we'll start right there. We'll work throughout the day. We'll get into that noon Eastern time slot. And let's talk Syracuse and Tennessee.
Yeah.
Syracuse, one of the real interesting stories from a year ago, shocked Miami late in the 2024 campaign, really cost Miami a shot at the college football playoff. One of the considered to be real risers in the coaching ranks, going through another transition at quarterback is Syracuse, hitting the portal, trying to make that magic work for a second straight year. And likewise, so is Tennessee. After all the tumultuous events of the offseason, especially with Nico Iamaiolava, you land on Joey Aguilar as your starting quarterback. This is another one. I want to see it. But what do you think in terms of the pick for Syracuse and Tennessee?
Yeah, I do like Tennessee. Look, Aguilar, and I understand him playing in Appalachian State, but he's got 6,000 yards passing. I mean, that means something, doesn't it, Travis? Frankly, now Notre Dame has got Syracuse got a Notre Dame transfer, Steve Angeli, too. Now, one thing that I really wonder now, Syracuse could really be good by the middle and the end of the year. They've got four transfers on that offensive line. I really wonder how they're going to hold up, frankly. And again, Tennessee got by last year on that running game and a really good front seven. Trav, could they do the same thing this year until Aguilar gets up to speed?
Yeah, I think they're going to kind of bank on being able to do that. But I'm with you. I think Aguilar at least can operate that hurry up and that tempo in a way as a veteran that's sort of been in this spot before, albeit at a little bit of a lower level. And I'm always a fan of the player, the athlete that has taken the road less traveled. There's something to be said about that, and he has certainly done that. You know, Syracuse, you're right. Offensive line is going to be a big part of this thing. And I talked about this on the channel a couple of nights ago. If you're an Alabama fan, especially, and you're watching this game and the left side of that Syracuse offensive line rings a bell, it might be because a couple of those guys were at Alabama here in the last two or three years. TJ Ferguson was at Alabama, went to Florida State, is now transferred to join Fran Brown at Syracuse, and then also Nicole Bertrand. I think he was initially at Texas A&M, then bounced to Alabama. Now he's at Syracuse. So something to keep an eye on with that Syracuse offensive line. I don't get the sense this Syracuse team is going to be quite at the level of the one Fran Brown had a year ago, and I think he's, again, is the guy that who knows how long he'll be at Syracuse.
Yeah.
Especially with his ties to the Southeastern Conference. This should be a situation, even with everything that's gone on in the offseason and in the lead up. Tennessee, simply the better team, playing in Atlanta, should be able to get the job done.
And Trav, let me just throw this in here real quick. If people have not heard, very quietly almost, Josh Heupel has signed a contract extension through 2030, the best three-year stretch in two decades for Vol fans. Not to make a show of it, but I think that that says volumes for where Tennessee is right now with their confidence in Heupel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was almost like a 5 o'clock on Friday news dump.
Yeah, it really was.
But it also kind of tells you where we're at with attracting players. You know, you used to make a big, big deal out of those extensions and try to highlight them and promote them as much as possible. But with NIL now, players, that's first and foremost, obviously, what they've, got on their mind. Certainly, continuity with the head coach matters. That's not to say that it doesn't, but it's not the tool that it once was in terms of trying to attract talent on the recruiting trail. Also, noon Eastern on Saturday, of course, on the Fox Network. Big noon from Columbus, Ohio. Here we go, Brent. Arch Manning, the Texas Longhorns, going to take to the road to take on the third-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. We got new starting quarterbacks for both of these teams. Arch, obviously, the darling of the college football world going into this matchup. But I think about, too, who he has to work with on the outside because, Matthew Golden, now a Green Bay Packer. Isaiah Bond, now a member of the Cleveland Browns. But, Sark and this staff is recruited at such a high level, really like Wingo. They've got a couple of freshmen that can probably jump right in there and get it done as well. Maybe a little more concern about the Texas offensive line than I have even about Arch and the people he'll be able to work with, including Trey Wisner and I'm guessing C.J. Baxter, too, coming off that knee injury.
Yeah, agree. And they've also got, to me, the what makes the difference in this game for Texas is their defense. Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill, Michael Taffy. I mean, that there's some real reason for optimism there. I don't know, this is a small thing, but it really can be a big thing. And you as a former kicker can understand this. Bert Auburn is gone. He went to Miami, the field goal kicker. So they've got a new guy. That's something that always you kind of wonder about. At the same time, but obviously Jeremiah Smith is going to be huge and Texas is going to have to cover him. But at the same time, Trav, between Julian Singh, who I think could be great before he leaves Ohio State, right now he's not probably going to be. I would be very interested to see what his composure is. But again, my winner in games like this, who's a better defense? And I think that's Texas.
I think it's hard to argue with that. And then I understand Ohio State is very high on its interior offensive line. Maybe some questions more so at tackle. They're replacing two immensely talented and productive running backs from a year ago. Both those guys, Quinshon Judkins among them, in the National Football League these days. I think Julian Sand, if you haven't seen him yet, I think he's got a little Bryce Young to him.
Yeah.
When you see him on Saturday, you'll go, man, this guy isn't 6'4", 220. He's a little bit slight, kind of like Bryce Young was. But like Bryce Young, he knows how to get the football to his playmakers. And with Jeremiah Smith, to me, Ohio State is like the three-point shooting basketball team in this matchup because of Jeremiah Smith. Like, I think Texas's defense can be good enough for most of this game.
Yes.
But I think Jeremiah Smith is so good. And don't forget about Carnell Tate, too. True. They got other guys at wide receiver that you can be really good for about 60 plays.
Yeah.
And then there could be five plays where Jeremiah Smith and these receivers and saying get in the end zone three or four times. Yes. In a game like this, it might be enough. You mentioned the place kicking angle for this. Auburn for Texas was so wildly inconsistent.
He was.
And he had some cringy moments late for Texas in that 2024 season and in that playoff. So Texas typically can attract the best specialists in around the country. I would think they can't be any more inconsistent than they were, but it's a good point because you're anticipating a very close game. I think at last check, Ohio State was a 1.5 point favorite. And that's at home, which tells you with the home field, it's at best a pick 'em situation. I'm going to go with you. I think the one side of the football that we know we can absolutely count on is this Texas defense.
Yes.
And I think if Texas can get in a position of being able to control the game, they have the kind of backs that can do that. I'll tell you another underrated piece of this for Texas that's no longer around is tight end Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, no doubt.
That dude from the tight end position was a real problem. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'll go Texas, but another one of these games that you don't feel particularly great about.
Agreed.
Speaking of not particularly great, what about Mississippi State going on the road to Hattiesburg to take on Southern Miss? This is another one of those noon Eastern games. This one on ESPN Saturday. Wow. You know, you got to think for Jeff Lebby, a healthy Blake Shapen, Southern Miss going through another change at the head coaching position. It's kind of where it's got to start, you feel like, for Lebby if it's going to here in 2025.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is a big game for him. I mean, they're not expected. They don't have a lot of expectations to win a lot of games like this, but you and I both know this is a big rivalry in that state. By the way, Braylon Braxton is the quarterback at Southern Miss. He was at Marshall, Charles Huff.
The game with Charles Huff.
Yeah. Also makes an appearance as head coach. There is a Jacksonville, Florida kid, Mississippi State linebacker Nick Mitchell, also has done some good work. It's kind of got a small sample size. But, yes, this will be a very interesting game. And unfortunately, Trav, State's not going to win a lot of games this year, and this is one they really need to win, also because it's an in-state game too.
Weird deal with Charles Huff leaving Marshall. It was almost a mutual sort of decision. He didn't leave on a low note or necessarily a high note. I think, though, he won his conference championship game.
Yeah.
Then actually moved on to Southern Miss. You don't typically see that, but Charles Huff, previously running backs coach at the University of Alabama. So he's got some pedigree where the Southeastern Conference is concerned. I'm going to go Mississippi State, especially with Shapen, and kind of counting on in year two.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than anything else, an absolutely atrocious state defense from a year ago has taken at least a stride or two towards improvement in 2025. What about 12:45 Eastern on SEC Network? We worry about Mark Stoops in Kentucky and maybe where this program is headed. It feels like, Brent, for the first time since really he took that thing over, expectations for Kentucky football are at a pretty, pretty low point. Boy, against Toledo at Kroger Field on Saturday. You start trying to count up wins for Kentucky this season. This has got to be one of them, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, there's absolutely no question about that. Look, I've already seen some people predicting Toledo to win the game. Now, Trev, my biggest question is Zach Calzada, who we were familiar with at A&M, has been around for a while, and they need him to live up to some maturity and some of the hype that they have got. They really need their defense to be able to put up a little bit of a wall here against Toledo and be able to get off to a decent start. I think that's going to be incredibly important for them. And Trev, how badly do they need to win because they've got to play Ole Miss next week?
Yeah, I mean, as we said, you start trying to count up wins for Kentucky. Maybe this is like a South Carolina year for Kentucky, where we said the same things about South Carolina a year ago before we really knew who Lenore Sellers was.
True.
We kind of know who Zach Calzada is.
Yeah.
And we've seen that before. And this isn't the transfer portal roulette at quarterback that we've seen from Kentucky in the past, like Will Levis.
Yeah.
Right. And guys like that, that had previously come in. It feels like the last couple of shots at transfer portal quarterbacks haven't been to that sort of level. It's absolutely, you talk about upset watch for SEC teams this weekend. I think Kentucky is definitely in that place, especially when you think about the fact that Toledo beat Pitt in a bowl game to finish the 2024 season. So legitimate MAC team making their way to the Commonwealth this weekend. 3:30 Eastern Saturday. We're going to talk about first on ESPN, the Georgia Bulldogs hosting those aforementioned Marshall Thundering Herd. I'm calling this one the Jim Donnan Derby. You know, Jim Donnan was head coach at both Marshall and Georgia. But an intriguing matchup for Georgia, because you just want to see how some things sort of play out for this Georgia team, starting behind center, although we did see Gunnar Stockton late in the 2024 season, but some other aspects, some new faces for this Georgia team that we're interested in checking out.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, Marshall could have as many as 20 new starters. That's probably what you don't want playing.
Yeah, the other 20 went with Huff to Hattiesburg.
That's very true. But look, Georgia's got Tennessee and Alabama coming up this month. So, Trav, to say the least, they need to get off to a good start. They need to be a lot sharper, certainly in this game. I think that's going to be incredibly important. Now, frankly, Georgia themselves are placing 17 starters, including Carson Beck, who is in Mama right now. And my stars, Trav, these Georgia wide receivers have got to be better than what we saw last year. Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas from USC and A&M will lead off with that.
I really want to see Branch and his brothers with him too on the defensive side of the ball, making that move from Southern California. But Zach Branch has the potential to be that guy, and you can break games open with him various ways. Return game, you can do it as well. So it feels like Georgia has gone there at the skill positions, the wide receiver positions in recent years, and hasn't quite hit. You know, I thought London Humphreys would be more of an immediate impact guy going in there from Vanderbilt. That didn't really happen, at least initially. So I'm interested to see if Branch can really be that kind of guy for the Georgia Bulldogs. And you're right, boy. Fall is a coming for the Dogs. It just shouldn't be this weekend anyway. Yeah. Also, 3:30 Saturday Eastern from Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee, Brent. It's the Florida State Seminoles coming off a 2-10 campaign in 2024, taking on the 8th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Kalen DeBoer in year two going to take his team on that rare true road opener the Crimson Tide, and he's going to do it down a couple of starters.
Well, one of those starters is Jam Miller, the lead tailback, who is out. Now, this is going to be one of the fascinating things of the game to me is without Miller, how do they run the ball? Richard Young and Daniel Hill and Kevin Riley and, Dre Washington and A.K. Deer. I mean, it would really help them if they're able to run the ball. Now, I think Ty Simpson is going to be fine. I really like the fact that Simpson is taking over. Jalen Bakwe was kind of ran the scout team, so I thought that was a little bit interesting. With that, we don't know a lot about Alabama special teams. Blake Dodd from Colorado School of Mines. How many times has that happened? will be the punter. So I think that that will be most interesting. But, I mean, to me, Trav, it's a lot of this is about an Alabama veteran defense. What did they do with quarterback Tommy Castellanos, who we know when he was at Boston College was very good and he was very average. Also at the same time, Rodale Williams, certainly from Alabama, that there'll be a lot said about that. So in the 3-3-5 that FSU's going to run, frankly, with quite a familiar face, Trav, shall we say, is that a D coordinator for Florida State.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, for me, who can control the game the best? And typically when you hear that, you think run game. And last year, Florida State was the 129th ranked rush offense out of 134 teams in FBS football. So that's obviously got to improve. And that's why you think with Gus Malzahn in as the offensive coordinator, the run game will absolutely improve, especially with a quarterback like Castellanos, who should benefit from a change in scenery, working in a system with Bill O'Brien that doesn't play well to his skill set, with what Gus brings to the table, much more of a natural fit. And actually, those two guys, Castellanos and Gus, were initially together at UCF. So this is a reunion of sorts for them. I think the running back situation is going to be big. I think it could be a back we haven't really even talked about a whole lot. Yeah. Maybe one for both teams. I've talked about Usma Chroma, the true freshman running back for Florida State. This guy is 6'1", 218 pounds. And when I think of Gus Malzahn and Chroma, I think I get some Johnson.
Kerryon
Johnson. I get some Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina years ago. This dude, I don't know if it'll be against Alabama, but I feel comfortable in saying that at some point this season, number 32 for Florida State, former four-star recruit from the state of Georgia, flipped actually from Georgia to Florida State late in the process. He's going to be a problem. But Roydell Williams, Gavin Sawchuk comes in from Oklahoma for Florida State. And then with Jam Miller out, you know, you're thinking more along the lines of Daniel Hill. Could it be more along the lines of Rich Young? You know, there is a transfer and Dre Washington to take into account from Louisiana Lafayette. So there's some wild cards in play, I think, with those running backs for both teams. And then, you know, there's just so much unknown, especially with Florida State on the defensive side of the ball. Transfers from Nebraska, transfers from Tennessee, transfers from Houston, transfer from Memphis. It's not just on offense where almost every starter on that side of the ball started their college career somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that for Alabama, there's comfort with Ty Simpson in knowing, you know, that you've got the type of outside skill people in Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton coming in, an emerging player in Rico Scott. So you feel comfortable with that and knowing that. I think Florida State, though, with Squirrel White, Deuce Robinson, Javon Boggs, a true freshman they really like, you know, those are all playmaker types. So I know Alabama is about a 14-point favorite going into this game, Brent. I'd have a hard time in an opener anyway and feeling comfortable laying those type of points with Alabama on the road, especially after what we saw a year ago with some of the road struggles that team had. I think Alabama gets it done. I think it's a one score and a half type of game on Saturday in Tallahassee.
And Trevor, there's two things. The weather could be a real factor with rain. If that's going to make a big difference, to me, the bigger difference is the loss of Tim Keenan. On that defensive line, James Smith, Jeremiah Beeman, Edric Hill. Trav, I'm wondering how, to me, that without Keenan in the game is going to be a whole lot different than anything the rain does.
It definitely heightens the concern you had for what a lot of people have perceived to be a real strength for this Alabama defense right up the middle. When you include the two returning safeties with that as well, But when you start thinking about it, without Keenan, a war daddy there on the football, and then you got Deontay Lawson coming off an ACL in November of last year, and everything has been incredibly positive in terms of his ability to get back as quickly as he has. You know, Gus is still going to try that interior run game.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk a lot about window dressing and eye candy, and Gus is going to offer all that up to this Alabama defense, because this was a defense a year ago that, while the numbers look good, and they were good, their eyes could get manipulated. They could kind of fool themselves sometimes. They didn't always come up big in the big spots a year ago under Kane Womack. So that's what I'm interested to see this time around. And you talked about it from an Alabama perspective, the kicking game with the specialists, that's a concern. But I think Florida State's in the same situation. Yeah, I think Florida State is basically doing what Alabama's doing with the punter and the kicker. And so, you know, if it comes down to a kick, who the heck knows in Tallahassee on Saturday? Hey, Brent, let's keep it moving as we work through a gauntlet of games here for week one of the 2025 college football season. Here's one you should be able to go ahead and count for Arkansas. The Hogs host Alabama A&M, 4:15 Eastern on SEC Network Saturday. Talen Green, that offense, Bobby Petrino, right? This should be a feel-good game to get the season going for Sam Pittman's latest team.
Yeah, and they need games like this because they've got Notre Dame coming later. That is going to be difficult, to say the least. Mike Washington, Braylon Russell, 80% of that offensive line. I think we know that their D-line could be a little bit better from last year. Quincy Rhodes, Cameron Ball, Justice Boone, who's been around a little bit also. You know, senior Omega Blake, a great name for one of their wide receivers, is going to be in the mix too. So yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a early, much needed, and hopefully confidence building game for the Hogs.
Could be a desperate Notre Dame team.
Yes.
Depending on Sunday night that Arkansas sees here in the early part of the schedule when the Hogs and the Irish get together in the not-too-distant future. Hey, let's talk about 6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night. We'll do this one briefly. Illinois State travels to Norman, Oklahoma to take on the 18th-ranked Sooners. Change the story in Norman after a disappointing 2024 campaign. John Mateer in. It sounds like he's all good after some controversy here in the last couple of weeks. And I think maybe a part of this Oklahoma team, because we're so caught up in Mateer and anticipating this new approach, really piling up yards through the air, points through the air. This is a team at running back, not just Ott, the transfer from Cal either, that they should be able to balance things pretty well, this Oklahoma offense.
They really should. Oh, this is a big year, to say the least, for Oklahoma, and they've got to show some real maturity and some real change in Mateer, I think, is probably possible to do that. I'll be brief on this, but they have got a situation, Trav, that in the notes we share together, they're actually charging fans around $700 to sit on the post-game press conference. What, Trav, what in the world?
You know what, though, Brent? I mean, all the years that we've sat in press boxes around college football and at the biggest of games, the national championship games, the SEC championship games, there were times when I would sit in a press box right on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Best seat in the house, or one of the top 10 or 12 in the house.
Yes.
Easily. And look around and think to myself, when are these schools going to figure out how much money they could make off my seat right now?
Oh, yes.
And I kept hoping that they would, for my benefit, not come to that discovery, but they did.
Yep.
And that's now why at places like Auburn or places like Alabama, you see press boxes that have been totally shifted.
Yeah.
And boy, it's another revenue stream, and it goes back to, well, what these programs, what these athletic departments feel like they've got to do in today's college athletics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question about that. And look, for the Illinois State game, I understand they have offered these seats per ESPN. The cost for the season opener is basically $500. And to no surprise, as you said, it sold out.
Oh, no problem. Not a thing. It's going to be tough for the old timers on the beats. Because you're going to have coaches come in for the press conferences, and you're going to have fans give them standing ovations in the press conference. And some of the old heads, it's just going to, oh, my God, they're going to pass out. And then you'll have a coach give an answer, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a little bit of a dust up between a reporter and a coach.
Yeah,
you're going to get fans. Yeah, coach, tell him, tell her, shut him up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds good. And I know the money will spend good from this. I don't know, though, as is the case with a lot of things in college athletics these days, if they're always as well thought through.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Precisely.
As maybe we would like them to be. But Oklahoma looking to rectify some things after a disappointing season a year ago. 7 Eastern, Saturday night, ESPN, in-state battle. UTSA going to make the trip to College Station to take on Mike Elko's second team there with the Texas A&M Aggies. What about the Aggies, Brent? When you look at this team and understanding UTSA has a history of being problematic, although I think I heard Coach Traylor for UTSA not too long ago speak about how he lost about everybody to the portal. Like even his kickers, his specialists, he lost to the portal. So obviously A&M should be in a good spot here, but just in terms of what A&M needs to get accomplished other than just winning the football game Saturday night.
Well, I think they need to be have a good ground game. I think they will. Le'Veon Moss is coming back. Now, you and I love Le'Veon Moss last year. Tough runner. You remember Travis got hurt about what was that midseason, three quarters of the season went out. That took a lot of things away. Marcel Reed can run or throw. Amari Daniels also. So that's going to be very interesting to see. But look, Trav, they've got to make some progress this year, do they not? They don't need another 7-5 or 8-4, which is kind of where they have been for a while. Now, they've got some guys coming in who really may help them. KC Concepcion is a guy we've talked about for a while. Mario Craver. Now, this 5-star Terry Boosie is – well thought of. He has kind of not done a whole lot. But hopefully he will. So look, I think this is an important game for A&M just to knock the rust off and get going again.
You know what can help every aspect of that football team? Not just Le'Veon Moss, but you bring back Reuben Owens after the injury a year ago. Good Amari point. Daniels is a dynamic option at the running back position. I think EJ Smith is even back. So you want to talk about elite running back rooms?
Right.
That's Texas A&M. And that can make life a lot easier for Marcel Reed. You lost some key guys at the skill positions. I know you talked about it in relation to Georgia just a minute ago, guys that are on the move. So with Elko, I trust him, though, to kind of continue to mold this thing more in his image and be ready to go when it really starts to matter here in a couple of weeks after getting a win over UTSA, you would think, on Saturday night. The Florida Gators, 7 Eastern on Saturday night. ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus. You're going to have to stream the Gators and LIU. I got learned on something tonight at dinner. I didn't know that LIU was previously CW Post.
Wow. Yeah. That is interesting.
I learned that at a family gathering tonight. Oh. I got learned on something. So,
very nice.
The Gators, expectations, obviously, considerably higher than they were a year ago. A lot of those hopes, though, rest on a player in DJ Lagway that you hope, anyway, isn't already showing signs of being a guy that is a little bit too much in and out of the lineup for Florida to get to the places it wants to go. Even understanding the backs, the offensive line, the run game, it's all well and good. But in this league, at some point in SEC play, almost week in and week out in SEC play, that guy is going to have to make at least a handful of plays to kind of push you to that next level.
And with the injuries he's had, throwing shoulder soreness, core muscle ailment, which just sounds rough, and a calf strain, that has been tough. Now, Dallas Wilson is back. He's missed most of camp.
Wide receiver.
They think he'll be okay. Gator is going to be strong. Quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, and cornerback. It's going to be fascinating to watch them this year. Look, the thing that, you know, we talked about South Florida coming in next week, but to me, man alive, that gauntlet of LSU and my Emma and a week off and play Texas and Texas A&M, as we've said before, man, as Missouri scores again, if they're 2-2 after that four, there'll be some amazing work, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, they will, but I don't know how that's going to sit with fan base at 2-2. I think this fan base is thinking 3-1.
Yeah.
Would be truly amazing. But if they're going to do something like that, Jacoby Jackson, Jaden Ball, that offensive line is going to have to buoy Lagway enough to not put him in too much of harm's way. And he's going to have to be smart about how he goes about it as well. As always, we appreciate our viewers chiming in here and watching on live. Brian Kane checking in says, I've commented before, can't catch every broadcast in real time, but get my real college football intelligence right here. Hey, thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. No doubt about that. So as we keep it moving on a Thursday night, the Buccaneers of Charleston Southern. I've actually been to Charleston Southern. It's in North Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah. And going to get a paycheck is CSU. Going to travel to Vanderbilt to take on Diego and the Doors, a team with some expectations. I love Diego Pavi, okay?
You do too.
And I understand he's got to say and do the things he's got to say and do as a leader of that team. The national championship aspirations, I'm not quite there with Diego. No. But look, it's part of who he is. It's the spirit that he brings to the game, and there's no question with Clark Lee and some peril going into last season. It has helped lift this program to a place that we hadn't seen in quite some time.
No, I agree with that. And what's interesting is now all five of Vandy's starters on the offensive line are transfers. Trev, when will we accept that to some degree?
You've got a former Vandy offensive tackle starting for Florida State against Alabama on Saturday. Gunnar Hansen.
That's a good point.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? They need some more out of their receivers this fall. That's gonna be. But look again, Travis and I both love Diego, and as long as he can stand up and play quarterback, they've got a shot to me.
I think so too. He's like Roberto Duran, the old welterweight, hands of stone. Just so tough and can kind of just keep taking punches and you're going to have to go 15 rounds with Diego. Yeah. You might get him on points or something, but knocking him out is really, really tough. But we're going to find out more, obviously, about Vanderbilt beyond this week and what should be an easy win over the visitors from South Carolina. Speaking of South Carolina on Saturday night, how about the LSU Tigers traveling to the upstate to take on the Clemson Tigers, a top 10 matchup, two of the most anticipated quarterbacks for the 2025 season, Cade Klubnik and obviously Garrett Nussmeier for the LSU Tigers. You know, I've been keeping up with LSU, well, SEC teams in general. LSU going into this game as of this afternoon, still wasn't sure if they were going to have their starting safeties.
That's right.
For the game because of ejections at the end of last season that could carry over to this season. Now, it sounds like they are going to have one of their starting safeties, but they still don't know about the other one going into this game.
Yeah, A.J. Halsey is who Travis is talking about. In the last game of the 2024, he was ejected. That's why, Trav, you need to behave in every game because you never know when that's going to happen. But look, to me, the big thing here is LSU's law, and again, the competition's been tough. They've lost five straight openers.
Fans don't care at this point.
No.
Got to beat somebody in an opener. You know?
Yeah, really.
Even if it's the 78 Steelers on the road, you got to beat somebody.
Two of the better quarterbacks in college football, and Cade Klubnik of Clemson and Garrett Nussmeier of LSU, who's got about 4,000 to 5,000 career yards, by the way. So he has certainly been around a good bit. But look, I've got more interest in this, frankly, Travis, and I do Texas and Ohio State. I think this is going to be a terrific game all the way around.
I think it definitely has that potential. It's pretty easy when you look at this matchup, but I think it's what's going to be the case. And maybe LSU can run the football well enough to help.
Yeah.
That protection, they're going to have to. If LSU can't run the ball for 100 yards or so, at least protecting Garrett Nussmeier with that offensive line against the likes of Peter Woods rest of that Clemson defensive front is going to be really tough. And I just fear for Nussmeier, it's going to sort of play out like games did late last season.
Yes.
When they really didn't protect him, and he didn't really protect himself well enough. And the turnovers followed. I know there's already some predictions out there for Saturday night that, Nussmeier is going to throw multiple picks. Well, he might, but I will say this, if they do protect him, he's got some guys
he can
get the football to. And, conversely, I think it's on this LSU defense in year two under Blake Baker, right? Let's see a big step. And you bring in a guy like Jack Pyburn. Now, is Jack Pyburn an every down animal, the transfer from Florida as a defensive end? I don't know. But they need guys like that to play at a very high level to have a chance to get the job done on the road Saturday night.
Yeah. And again, just a humongous game for so many reasons. Now, look, if you lose a game like this to someone rated that high, it's not going to be the death of your season by any stretch of the imagination. But LSU really needs to get that hex out from under them in these opening games. But boy, you're talking about being in a road game and that group being filled with a fever pitch. And if it's a nice night, this thing could be difficult. And Nussmeier really needs to make some big plays. But Trav, to me, the group that's got to step up is the LSU defense, which frankly is not done. We pretty well know Clemson's defense is going to be very good. What about the Tigers? What about the LSU Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, Whit Weeks, is his brother Wes going to be more of a factor this year? What about Harold Perkins?
Yeah.
Pyburn. And again, I think that's where the LSU run game can even be beneficial to their chances Saturday night because, Caden Durham's probably the player going into this game for either team that probably isn't being talked about enough. The LSU running back who was really, really good last year was a very young player. So again, if you can get just 100 rushing yards out of Durham and the rest of those guys, I think that will free up that protection a little bit and also Nussmeier and make them especially difficult to defend. Otherwise, it's hard to pick against Clemson playing at home in that type of environment. LSU's built to do it. It's just, as we talked about from the outset of the show tonight, we just haven't seen it from a lot of these teams and these situations they're walking into in week one. Georgia State going to travel to Ole Miss Saturday night. Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, 7:45 Eastern. That game will go on SEC Network. The Austin Simmons era in Oxford, Brent, gets underway.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. They love him. They think he's had a good camp. They like him, and they're impressed with what he's done. Christian Veleno, is Georgia State's quarterback. He is from Pitt, so that would be a very interesting man live. Trav, will Georgia State be able to do anything on that Ole Miss defense? Look, I mean, we know what they're going to be doing offensively, but if they can have another defensive year like they've had the last two or three, to me, that's what it's going to be. That's going to make the difference. Princely Hughes and Terrian Perkins and Sean Womack. Man alive, what a group that this is going to be this year for the Rebels.
Yeah, Pete Golding's name seems to make the rounds a lot of times for not the right reasons. Most recently, some comments that were attributed to him in terms of the recruitment of Arch Manning.
Yeah.
When Pete was at Alabama. Now, some of the context that I haven't seen anyway, it felt like it was insinuated that Pete Golding was talking about Sark's problems with alcohol. But, you know, Sark had other health problems, serious health problems.
He did.
That became revealed in a in-depth physical he had that was urged by former Alabama head coach Nick Saban. I don't know. But anyway, I think for Ole Miss, it's get over that final hurdle. You're right there at the college football playoff a year ago. Simmons looks like he has that ability to be perfect in Lane and Charlie Weiss Jr.'s offense. Now go out and let's see it. Hattie May checking in on a Thursday night, Brent. He says, "What's up, gentlemen? Has either of your predictions changed for the outcome of Alabama Florida State due to recent events and potential rain possible and lightning delays?" You know, I understand the weather in Tallahassee is supposed to be kind of unseasonably cooler. Not that it's going to be in the 60s.
No. But
that's in part expected because it could be rainy.
Yeah.
And a nasty day there in Tallahassee. Probably not so much for me, Brent, you know, because I think if it turns into a bit of a slog, I still think Alabama up front, even without Tim Keenan in the middle of that defensive line and even without Jaden Roberts on that offensive line, will still have the advantage there. What you can't sort of forecast, so to speak, is how quarterbacks deal with it.
No,
you know, I agree. Wet ball situations, things like that. I think that's where it may get more unpredictable than anything else, Brent, is – what it could mean for turnovers in a game like this. Oh, when you're already in a season opening situation, which as we know, those can turn into some turnover fest, even indoors.
Well, and I think the attitude is going to make a big difference. What I mean by that is if Bama gets ahead early, is FSU going to be looking back, well, this same thing happened last year and it's happening again. Which is extremely important. And look, the reality is, Trav, I think Ty Simpson is I don't think, unlike Jalen Milroe last year, I don't think Simpson thinks he's got to win the game.
I don't think he does. But, again, we're going to find out for sure on Saturday. The only thing I worry about with Ty Simpson isn't that I don't fear that for him the moment's going to be too big.
Yeah.
I typically worry more about that with a true freshman quarterback even a second year guy. This guy's been around 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
Yes. The thing I worry about is he is so ready. You can be too ready.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You wait this long.
Yeah.
And true. So to your point, I would worry a little bit about not that he thinks he has to win the game, but he's just so ready. You know, he wants to try to make every play.
Yeah.
And as long as he doesn't try to do that, I think Alabama's got plenty to be able to get the job done on the road. But it's one of those interesting facets of this matchup that, you just don't know until you
snap. But Trav, I'll also say this. These Alabama wide receivers, if they start having their way and that opens up the running game, Alabama's going to be hard to stop on Saturday afternoon.
They are. And probably the thing that makes me feel the best about Alabama's offense is that Ryan Grubb's dialing it up.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just because of what he'll have ready for this week or what he'll call on Saturday from the box, but because of the entire ramp up since he's joined the staff in terms of day-to-day accountability and those type of things. Just a lot of trust, I think, in Ryan Grubb to be able to get the job done, especially when you're talking about putting a first-time starter at the quarterback position out there on the road. Hey, Brent, one more game to talk about, and that's on Sunday. That's right, Sunday afternoon football. You got the Saturday-Sunday double dip from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You're going to have Tennessee and Syracuse on Saturday, and then on Sunday, this is a cool game, man.
Because you got
Shane Beamer coaching his South Carolina Gamecocks against his pops, Frank Beamer's old school, his previous employer. Frank Beamer, an absolute legend in Blacksburg, Virginia, as he should be. So there's the feels that are involved here when you talk about Virginia Tech and South Carolina coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of fun, frankly. But man, I think South Carolina wins the game, but man alive, Virginia Tech's got to have something decent happen, don't they, Trav? I mean, 6-7 last year, lost the bowl game to Minnesota. Brent Pry. This is something we forget about. They dropped 5 one-score games in 2024, 3 by 4 less points. Trav, that they've got Phillip Montgomery as their new offensive coordinator. Man alive, at some point, you need something to go right. But I can tell you, against South Carolina, there may not be much to go right on Sunday.
Yeah, the kind of irony in all this is that since Frank Beamer left, they have struggled.
They have
to find a just adequate successor or replacement. And that's where, if you're Brent Pry and you're Virginia Tech, I think the standard is such because of Frank Beamer, you're expecting 8 wins, 9 wins a season. And it just hasn't played out that way in terms of consistency. And I think it's going to be a tough way to start coming up on Sunday. Lenora Sellers, can he live up to a lot of what's going to be expected of him this season? Dylan Stewart, there is star power on both sides of the football for the South Carolina Gamecocks. So, yeah, like South Carolina in the game, but big picture-wise, what are you sort of looking for from the Gamecocks in this matchup with the Hokies?
Well, will South Carolina and Lenore Sellers make the will he make the advances in his game, Trav? He's getting a little bit of Heisman hype. That's immaterial at this point. But can he and that offense do what they need to do to win some of these late games that they came so close, like LSU last year, like Alabama last year? Trav, can they turn the corner and make some of those into W's?
Yeah, Yeah, that's going to be the expectation in terms of the advancement of Lenore Sellers in year two with Mike Shula.
That's right.
That yes. offense for Shane Beamer. Well, Brent, there you go. That's the slate for week one. We got you a little bit of real-time updating with Missouri tonight and that home opener against Central Arkansas. But anything else, Brent, before we get out of here?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a great weekend. I wish we had more of these besides just the opening weekend. And I understand the NFL and the shadow that they cast with that also, but that will be how the media treats some of these non-SEC games. Draft like North Carolina and TCU on Monday night. North Carolina and TCU play again next year. Mm-hmm. Also, Michigan plays in one of the, over the pond games coming up next year. So I tell you what, brother, it is it's a wonderful thing that it's back, is it not?
Well, we'll be locked in on Baylor and
that's right
and Auburn tomorrow night. But hey, Georgia Tech at Colorado on a Friday night, I'll sign up for some of that. Absolutely. Outside of the SEC. No doubt about that. Well, Brent, as always, a lot of fun. So happy we're back to this point. So happy to be able to do this with you again for another season. We've been working on stuff together since, 1993?
Oh, yeah, easily, yes.
That crazy? That's 32 years ago, man.
That's right.
What in the world? Where'd it go, Brent?
I know it, bro.
But again, thank you so much, and thank you all for joining us live on a Thursday night. The show will archive right there at Ryer on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, if you'd go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And a thumbs up, a like would help us out tremendously as well. For Brent Beard, I'm Travis Ryer. Until next time, so long, everybody.